You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Ball Bags podcast, episode 2.17. Just three more to go till the end of the series. Delighted that we're back to having a full house, so I'm delighted by the bottom feeder, Atlee. How are you, mate?
Alarm sound today in the old NBA jersey. Bit of a tan, Henry.
And thankfully, it's not a video podcast. And the coach, how are you, mate?
Good, yeah.
Good. Okay, so a lot to get through this week. We'll have a bit of NBA action from the bottom feeder, Atlee. We'll have the coaches' rise and fallers, and I'm going to do a bit of kind of just a general opinion as to whether we think things right now in the media are the victim of recency, or if there's genuine point behind the concern. Kick us off, gents. Player of the Week in partnership with The Athletic. Just click the link in the podcast description for a month's free trial of The Athletic. Best sports writers in the game. So, coach, do you want to go first? Who's your player of the week and why?
I've done this before, as you know. My name is the coach. And I have a love and a grow for tactics and coaches and philosophy. But yeah, yesterday was something incredible. So basically, my player of the week is a coach of the week, I suppose. Joey Barton. Liked by some, hated by all, I think. But Joey obviously is the manager of Bristol Rovers these days, and they needed to win their game by 5 more goals than Northampton won to get promoted. So Northampton went 1-3-1, so they needed a 7-0 win, and Joey Barton's men went and did it. So congratulations, Joey, if you're listening. I know you tune in every now and again, but I just think to pull something off like that is incredible.
And riddle me this, I may, because I obviously seen that it went through the WhatsApp group, whatever, but were those kickoffs at the same time?
Actually, that's a great question. Judging by the times I sent into the various WhatsApp groups, I'm going to say yes, but
so it was on the fly as well?
On the fly, yeah. But that's a good question that I'll have to look into, Sasquatch.
Oh, they didn't even know they needed 7. They just went out and hopped them by 7. Oh, that's unreal. That's so much better.
Or like, was news filtering?
Apologies, they were all there at the same time kickoffs, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So news was filtering through.
Incredible.
They were
incredible.
That is nuts. Even better.
I think it's something just to note about League 2 as well, is they don't have playoffs. They have it's 4 teams, I think, isn't it? 4 come down from League 1 and 4 go up from League 2. The top 3 in League 2 go up, and then there's a playoff between 4th to 7th, I think that's how it works, that little bit lower. So but they went through as a 3rd place. Incredible league, really, League 2.
Bob,
I had Rodrigo after he scored that late brace on Wednesday night. I don't think, like, I know Camavinga changed it a bit when he got on, but Rodrigo got the goals.
Yeah, and he scored 2 against Betis the Saturday before, like, well off the bench. So
that,
what more
that
he needs
was
to start.
Unreal. They've been in every good, like, the best games of the year so far. They've been in every single one of them.
Fair. Yeah, no, they never die, do they? My player of the week was Luis Diaz, and I'd actually to be fair, I kind of picked this before the game. I just think his development over the last, well, since he joined Liverpool, has been exceptional. And I think we could be on the precipice of, in 2 years' time, he's the best player in the league. By extension, you're automatically in the conversation as best player in the world. I think Liverpool have done a really job of replacing Salah before he's even left. I just think he's a phenomenal talent, and obviously came up with a goal to keep them in the title fight.
I've never heard you say anything nice about Liverpool players like that, and even then the coach is still not even a smile over there about Diaz. Not even a smile.
I'd be fair enough. Like, I will credit where credit's due.
To be fair, I think
I just think he's a master.
I think he doesn't quite feel like our player yet as a Liverpool fan, because it takes a while. We've seen players come and go a lot. Like, you think of
he was the end of January too as well, so he's four months.
He's only four months in the trackie.
Do you know, it's still very early days. But I just think,
you know, you look at the likes of Maxi Rodriguez and people like that come to Liverpool and got a hat trick here and a couple of goals there, and then they might have stayed around 2 years of that, but to be fair Diaz does seem like the real deal. I think any club he would have gone to, I know he was linked with three or four clubs in the Premiership, but I think anyone he would have gone to, probably he would have made a decent impact at.
I just think the style of play Liverpool play suits him, and he was real noticeable in the game against Villarreal.
He had a big impact in the second half.
Yeah,
just come in and just completely spread the play, and then completely.
If you thought it was Sarah before, though, I'm just sorry. Just after looking up the screen, I went to get myself set, obviously before we sat down and all that sort of stuff, and it was 3-0 to Man City over Newcastle, and I've just realised it actually finished 5-0. So thanks, Eddie Howe. For nothing. I hope you get sacked, and you are going to get sacked, to be fair, and that, you know, Newcastle do better without you. So thanks.
Jesus.
Okay. If you had to pick one out of the three,
I'm sticking with Rodrigo. Actually, fuck that.
Rodrigo for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll join you on that one. It was a great shout, to be fair. I kind of focus on the weekend as opposed to the weekend as a whole. So yeah, brilliant shout. Okay, so. Next up, agree to disagree. We kind of brought for a little segment here called Victim of Recency. And I suppose it's a series of kind of trending takes at present. I'm just wondering, are they overreactions, or is there scope that they're actually legitimate opinions? So the first one, tying in nicely with Rodrigo's player of the week, is given the budget at his disposal and the lack of Champions League success, is Pep Guardiola one of the most overrated managers in history? And for reference, obviously he won it in 2008, 2009 with Barcelona, and then again 2011, 2012 with Barcelona. Sorry, 2010, 2011 with Barcelona. But since then, he has not gone back and won the Champions League. Bearing in mind, even pre-City, the year he took over at Bayern Munich was on the back of a Champions League win. So is he potentially one of the more overrated managers, given the sides he's managed? That Barcelona side would manage.
I think it's completely fair to say. I'm a big, you know yourselves, I'm a big Barcelona fan, Le Mescun de Club, and when he was at Barca, I think he had an incredible squad, and he took them over in their prime. Similarly with Bayern, he had an incredible squad. Like, he's never had to go into a club where he's had to do a bit of work in terms of actually putting things together, playing a bit of money ball or anything like that. He's never had to. I would love to see him in that situation, because that would, I think, tell really what type of coach. Because at the moment, for me, at the three clubs he's been at, he's just been a personality. And I think that shows in Amazon Prime, in the City, I can't remember what it was called, but in that you can actually see he's a big personality. And it's quite frustrating as well to an outsider, I think, because it seems like a show. And like a put on kind of thing. And after games, you see, I think it was it Grealish, one of his early games, and he walks out onto the pitch after, and he's kind of shouting and berating him, like, on the side of the pitch, with body shapes and body language and all that sort of stuff. And he's done that a couple of times, and they've lost games. And I'm not sure I buy into what I did in the early days, definitely, at Barca. But I think when he went to Germany, people kind of forgot about him, I think, because it's not kind of something we watch, you know.
Yeah, wasn't the first bit of football after lockdown.
Three semi-finals with Bayern, like, you know, and that Bayern team was good too, but it's very hard competition to win.
But the argument about the Bayern Munich thing for me is that side won the Champions League, and then correct me if I'm wrong, but on the back of winning that Champions League, in which they beat Dortmund in the final, they signed Lewandowski.
Yes.
So they won a Champions League and then signed the best
striker. The second place team.
In Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't make it back to a final. Bearing in mind, I think then... Correct me if I'm wrong. Then it was Real Madrid, and then Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Real Madrid were the winners of the Champions League then, the year she was at Bayern Munich. And he did lose to those sides in the semi-finals those years. So that's fair enough. But at what point are we saying, like, the budget they've had at City for them not to...
Well, how many Champions Leagues is the expectation that he should have right now when he took over? Like, how many... Like, what in your head, like, what is a reasonable amount? Are you talking two?
I think the year that they... Well, last year, I think they should have won that Champions League.
Yeah, and the De Bruyne injury swung was such a big swing in that. I know.
I don't
it
care.
It just seemed to be a very unlucky thing, wasn't it?
De Bruyne for me as well. De Bruyne for me is very overrated as well. Not in terms of, like, I can see his talent, but he's never really had that big game. That big game where he just takes over in a clutch moment.
Like the Gerrard game, that type of...
Yeah, like a Gerrard Istanbul. He's never had that. Like, I can see the technical ability, I can see he's very good. But he's a bit, like, maybe someone will touch on in the next one.
Is it more a depth thing at City, though? City don't have, for the amount of young talent they seem to acquire, they don't have a lot of depth. You look at their bench today that against Newcastle: Cole Palmer, Luke Mbeddy, Tattoo, Conrad Egan, Riley, Zach Stefan isn't a good second choice keeper. Okay, you're probably not going to bring a second choice keeper on, but, like, you compare that to other benches, like, I know you can only make three subs or five in Europe, whatever way you want to look at it, but
do you look at their bench against Real Madrid?
It's worse again, isn't it? Bar the players that came on.
Fernandinho, Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling, Nathan Aki.
They're the five that came on. Am I correct? I think.
Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish, Fernandinho, Gundogan, and Zinchenko. They're five players that come on.
Yeah, so they're losing the nucleus of 16 players effectively for the season. Okay, Kyle Walker, John Stones, Mendy has obviously had off the field issues. So yeah, probably 20 players. Say, is that good enough depth for you know the level they're at?
Let me ask this question: is the depth as good as it is at Liverpool?
This season, I wouldn't.
I'd argue they're better depth.
You think?
Yeah, I think Liverpool are. Liverpool have a lot of players that are like, I'm sorry, Workman, saying, like, I'm just going to piss you off, but they're like the United squad under Ferguson.
Yeah,
and they've a lot of players that can slot in. And
but
just
their front three depth is phenomenal, and then everyone else just seems to slot in around that, doesn't it? Like, you can bring on Diaz, Diaz looks like a world beater, you know. Or then some weeks you're like, oh look, we don't have to start Jota, or we have to start Jota this week, or oh look, we can rest Mane for three games.
Yeah, but what was Jota before he got
Yeah, I know, but like it works there.
Take him out of that system, I don't think he's the same player.
But look, Liverpool fans are quite frustrated with Jota at the moment, because yeah, he pops up with the goal, but off the ball in the last couple of, he's been really poor. He, like, if he's out of a game, you're playing with 10 men. He's that type of player, like. So he's been frustrating for Liverpool.
Spanish Eddie and Ketia.
But to be fair, Liverpool have, I think, because we spoke of this numerous times, that American money, they've bought bench players that fit, like you said, fit into slots that should be, but like, that's your Milner. He's gone in to do a job that you want him to do, whereas City probably don't know what them four or five players do, those Cole Palmers and that type of thing, whereas Liverpool have a bench, they might bring one, maybe two youngsters along. the odd time the Tyler Mortons of the world get a run or whatever, but the players that go on for Liverpool usually are going in to do a job to carry out. Whereas today, I think it was Conrad Egan Riley came in to centre half, but he's very, very unproven. Like, that could have, it could have backfired, like, against Madrid, like, you know, very easy. Okay, City had the game in control and won. There were three up rather than two or whatever, but you probably wouldn't do that in the first or second third of the season. But,
you know,
we're going off the point though.
For me,
Pep should definitely be doing better with City. If he's a top class coach, I've no doubt he was behind getting Grealish. That's been a really poor signing for me, for Grealish and for City.
That's got more long term over it though, I think.
The thing about Grealish, I don't know. See, here's the thing for me on Grealish, right? So Grealish got a lot of flack for his performance against Real Madrid, which I thought was harsh because, bar possibly one of the greatest goal line clearances I've seen in recent years, he ended that game. Do you know what I mean? That
it was Mendy that made the challenge on the goal line. Yeah.
Bar that game's put to bed. There's no Rodrigo. There's no. He might score, but it's not what it is. But I just don't think he's the type of player that can. There's very few players that can play that role, come in off the bench, and win a game. There is very few, and I think he did well at Villa because he was playing week in, week out. And I think we've kind of seen it to a far lesser extent in Eddie Nketiah, in that he is in a bit of form because he is playing 90 minutes, whereas he's coming in for 5-10 minutes every week, every second week. It's very hard to hit the ground running. So I don't know why you spend 100 million on a player like that that's only going to get 10-15 minutes at the end of a game.
I'm trying to think of just teams that you want to throw Pep in to see if he's a good enough coach. And you're probably looking at your likes of your Tottenham's, West Ham's, one of them teams that's in the top 10. Like, you want to make them better to become a top 4 side. Like, would Pep do it at those clubs? I don't know.
I don't know if he took over from Tommy Tuchel in the morning, I don't think they'd compete for the title. Top 4, yeah, but that's what Tommy Tuchel's on. I don't think they compete.
A club getting Pep is very much just trying to get money into the bank to attract players, really. It's like, look, Pep, look what he's won, look what he's done, whatever.
It's the grand project, isn't it? Like, it's, that was always City's ambition, is to be this global. He's perfect to be the face of that because of the recency, the success he had, like, coming through with Barcelona, was that, like, superstar manager. You don't want anyone else other than that. It doesn't fit the image for them going forward, really.
Hold on a minute, mate. That recency success is long gone. That Champions League, the last Champions League with Barcelona, 2011.
The league titles kind of take them over in the last decade. You know, City's success, obviously, from 2010 onwards, really, has been...
Will you go through them... Now 7 seasons at City in the Champions League. First year, last 16 lost to Monaco. Quarterfinal lost to Liverpool. It was the year Liverpool lost to Madrid in the final. Quarterfinal lost to Spurs. That was the year Liverpool beat Spurs in the final. Quarterfinal lost to Lyon. Final lost to Chelsea, obviously. And then the semi-final lost to Real Madrid. Like, I think he should have... There should be more final... Given the budget at City's disposal... And we also seem to forget, just because the last kind of 3 years, City have had a genuine challenge in Liverpool. But for the 4 years prior to that, City didn't really have a challenge for the title.
Flip it on its head. Did any manager at Man City, would they be doing as well as Pep? Does it matter that it's
a good few? Like, would. If you put Conte in there, like, honestly, if you just gave Conte the wheels of the car tomorrow, like, genuinely, like, Would that sheet look similar? Does it look similar or not?
No, but listen to me for a second. Look at who Pep took over from. Pellegrini was doing the same job as Pep's done. 7 years later, Pellegrini was on the way to win a premiership. And then they announced in February that Pep was going to take over for next season.
Like, when Pep goes, who goes in?
Pellegrini's not a star name.
No. One name I think that goes in there that doesn't do a Pep thing is Mourinho, just because he's so flip.
First year he'd win a Champions opposite. League Negative. With them.
Yeah, no, well, that's it. Very possible, yeah.
And that probably would be a nail in Pep's, if someone took over and in the first season they won a first two seasons won a Champions League. That would be a huge dent in his legacy.
Has, you know, obviously we mentioned it's 5-0 today. Has he as good as won the league now?
I wouldn't give up hope.
Big game Tuesday night though, Liverpool Villa. You would imagine Gerrard's going to bend over and take it, but
you'd imagine agent Stevie will rest all his players.
I don't think the challenge for the title is over though. I just thought they'd be absolutely deflated today, and that Newcastle might just even a draw result would have been huge for Liverpool. But
you see. You see, had Liverpool beaten Spurs last
they
night,
they may have rolled over to.
I think they got a bit of a lift, City, from that. You look at the last three games, you got Wolves, you got West Ham, you got Villa.
Tricky.
The quality sides, the only fear I would have is they are sides with.
Yeah, West Ham have lost their vibe now, like to see them after their midweek.
Yeah. If it was to come down to that last game of the season with agent Stevie. Liverpool do need to rack up a couple of goals the next two games, because are they level goal difference now after today, if not City better?
I would imagine they are.
I think there's only two or three in it before today's game, so I'd say City are better off. So
yeah, there's four.
So Liverpool need to rack up a couple.
Liverpool have conceded two more and City have scored two.
Yeah, it's a four. It's a four goal swing. Liverpool have conceded more, City have scored two more. Yeah, Liverpool need to net a few over the next two games,
and then Liverpool also have other distractions.
Yeah,
is my fear. But look, I'll leave it there. A little NBA one, and then a small NFL one, and then we'll move on. My next one's quite topical as well. Is James Harden done? And I suppose for reference, I just done up for you guys. I just done up kind of some figures. So. Obviously, his MVP season in 2017, he was averaging 30.4 points a game, 3-point percentage of 37%. The following season, he was 36.1 points per game. He'd lowered down in 3-point percentage. And then his final season in Houston, age 30, he was 34.3 points per game and was shooting 35% from beyond the arc. 2021, with Brooklyn Nets at age 31, his points per game was 24.6. And look, he had a high 3-point percentage, but he probably, in terms of actual total shots, probably a lot lower, 36%. And then this season with Philadelphia, he's averaging just 22 points per game. So I'm just wondering, is James Harden done, or has it just been two bad years?
He's definitely done. Look, he's done being a 30 point over season. I think that James Harden has sailed. But like, you still look, if you can get 22 a night from James Harden, and that's where his ceiling now is, he's obviously not your number one lad anymore, but he still has, there is a certain amount of value there, I think. But for him being leading the league, like if you want to look at the league leaders for a season, those days when he had 36, 31 points a game, I think that ship has sailed.
But can you afford him on his salary to be a second man?
I think there's rumours swirling that James Harden is re-evaluating, taking a lower deal at the minute.
Okay. Because he's probably the reason why Miami will make a decent conference point.
Do you think like he's ever going to threaten that 30 points?
I don't know, like it could literally just, for me it's only two bad seasons, and there were two horrible situations. They go to Brooklyn, which has proved to be an absolute mess, and then in the middle of the season to go to Philly, obviously this season. It just kind of seemed like he fell out of love with basketball as well. He's not really been in shape. I think if he got his mind back on basketball and hit the ground running, I think maybe he could. I know obviously the coach isn't a huge fan of James Harden, but I do think there's a lot of talent there still.
Look, what are we going to say?
I think it's going to be much, much harder for him now. As you get older, trying to get back to that match fitness, it gets harder because just natural. Like, what, next year's going to be, what is he, 33 next year?
He'd be 33.
And
next year,
then you've got that crippling weight gain that he's got as well. I think he might need to go on the Aya Torre, or the Colo Torre, his wife's pills.
The only thing is, he is involved in a sport in which, if you want, the weight loss can come very quickly. Like, it's not like he's a darts player.
Yeah. You'd want to get to more strip clubs.
Just for context, with the 22 points a game, right? There is only 23 players in the league that average over 20 points a game this year.
That is, do you know what I mean? Fair, like, but he's that number's a lot lower when you look.
Yeah, but if you just take, like, if you just take that 20, because look, like, Clay Thompson is on that list as well, so essentially 22 players. You know what I mean? Because Clay Thompson hasn't played that many games, so, like, in essence, you're looking at maybe 25. It could be 30 players on a good year that are certified 20-point players a night. You know what I mean? Whether they're on, and then you look at some of the teams, like, they're playing on are awful, and a lot of them can be garbage points and stuff like that as well. So if you just take it in essence, like, Harden does clearly have some value, just not nearly as your number one anymore.
Fair. I just think he needs to get back those numbers, because I don't see. I know you're saying just chat, he might renegotiate his contract. I don't see him doing that. He's proven time and time again he is quite a selfish individual.
Happy.
The battering of Harden continues.
But
I wouldn't shock me, because a lot of NBA players
I'm on the fence.
Resurgence. Like, look at the level Chris Paul is playing at his age. Now,
model pro.
But Chris,
you know, it's like, how much does he want to be that player again as well? I think his own kind of desire seems to be a bit wanted.
Yeah, fair. Look, we parked that one. And the last one, I'm kind of thinking a quick one, but look, we'll see how it goes. So I suppose no one is screaming for Baker. Is his time in the league as a starter all but done?
No, I think he'll start somewhere.
Where?
I didn't say necessarily this year. I think,
well, Seattle don't have a quarterback, and they like.
Yeah, I think he'll get spot started games somewhere down the line. But
I think someone goes out and gets Kaepernick ahead of Baker.
Ah, stop!
I'm telling
don't
you.
Don't be silly.
No, stop.
Look, weird.
Kaepernick hasn't thrown a ball in 5 years.
Actually, he
obviously watched his Netflix show, and he's in his brain now at the moment.
I haven't. I've never seen it. But Bottom Feeder, you've never actually heard. You've never heard Bottom Feeder when I landed off a ship. Loads of people on it. I'm rocking. Loads of people on this ship. It was like Pirates of the fucking Caribbean.
Johnny Depp is vague.
Were you in the Caribbean?
We were in the Caribbean, right? We get off, and it was lashing rain, right? And I had a little bit of weight on me.
Here's he going.
A little bit of weight and a bit of a tan.
You had a bit of that James Harden going on.
A bit of that James Harden love.
Or the strip clubs in the Caribbean.
I might have been wearing a baseball cap. And it was actually, I think it was Nassau, the Bahamas. Baker! Turner, what is going on? Someone was shouting at me, asking, was I Baker Mayfield? It was a taxi man, so. But I wasn't Baker Mayfield. You got confused.
So if you're roaming the streets of deepest, darkest out Dublin and you come across a Baker Mayfield,
a 5'9" version of Baker Mayfield.
I've lost a bit of weight now, so I'm not as big as him, but
in the face.
In the face.
If you're wearing baggy clothes.
Winter snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've probably got a bit more grey hair than Baker, but yeah.
I think he's done, to get back to the point.
But when you say done, that this is just
as a starter.
Okay, no, but
forever.
Let's just say, because there's been,
you don't think he ever starts another game in the NFL again?
Too small, not athletic enough. The only small quarterbacks that work in the NFL are athletic quarterbacks. Is he as athletic as Russell
Drew
Wilson?
Drew Brees made it work before he retired, to be fair to him.
Game's gone from that, though.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's the last.
Tom Brady's 6'4", man.
Tom Brady's a big man.
Yeah, but he's Tom not Tom Brady's very a athletic. Big man.
Yeah. Fair. Different point. Yeah, no, but I just think he's too small.
I still think
he does make a good ad. He makes good commercials, though, to be fair. He's in a lot of them. I think he knows what's coming.
Yeah.
Make hay while the sun shines, they say.
He'd be a college legend. He'll get a job on
him and Team Tebow would be fucking tantalising, wouldn't it?
He actually would be make a good TV personality, actually, I know that you say it.
Yeah.
Just on that, though, with the quarterbacks, what we've seen it loads of times where people do drop away and they're never to be seen again. Where do they go?
TV.
They sell life insurance. A lot of them sell life insurance.
That's incredible, isn't it? Is that like the equivalent of our GAA players? Going to a bank, going...
It seems to be... It's I think it's kind of... I don't know if it's still a thing, but it kind of... It was definitely a joke. That a lot of them sell life insurance because a lot of companies love to say hello Baker Mayfield daytime life insurance and they're like, oh my god, is this Baker Mayfield that used to play for my Oklahoma Sooners,
and they've like, already yeah. signed their fucking life away
and they've already sold them. Like, listen, Joanne, for just a monthly payment of $40.99 every month until the day you die, your family can rest assured that your funeral will be taken care of. You've got me, Baker. And how about I throw in some tickets for the kids? And that's deal done.
Baker, if you're listening, the Ball Bags recruitment agency starts Monday. Give us a call.
I don't think you'd have the same success ringing from Irish Life. I'm just saying.
Well, how are you? Baker here. How long will it take him to adapt?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it'll work now. I don't think there's many people in that loan would buy life insurance off Baker Mayfield. But look, we digress. So look, that was my kind of quick segment, I suppose, victims of recency. I think next up, I think, is the bottom Peter Attlee, who has some NBA chat.
My screen has frozen here. 1 second now.
If you want, I can read the questions out.
I know, I read them myself. Never trust another man, huh?
First question: Denver Nuggets should blow it up.
And don't be doing that to me. here we go. Right, so look, I've done one from each series, and I just some of them I know myself. Some of them are generalized. Like I've grabbed onto something, and I'm just gonna for dear life not let go of it. So we'll go with the first one. Look, the Warriors dropped 142 points in a playoff game. Which was... That's the worrying Warriors that you don't want to see, isn't it? When like their entire starting five are clicking really, really badly. But that series is a little bit... It just seems to have a bit of a nasty edge to it. Not the same kind of nasty edge Boston and Milwaukee have.
It's because of Dylan Brooks,
the flagrant has really set it off. And obviously Jordan Poole, whether people want to call it intentional or not... obviously was in an altercation with Ja Morant, who left the floor. So, look, are the Grizzlies losing their focus and preventing themselves from playing their best basketball by buying into this?
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Nasty kind of bite that they're going, that this seems to be the edge they're going with. Is it the right one?
Potentially, but potentially for me, they're a young roster in their first playoff run. Their emotions are going to be all over the place. And it's not like the Phoenix Suns, who went through that first big playoff run with Chris Paul in the change room. They don't have that kind of experienced figurehead. To kind of, I think this goes to at least six games.
I think like the series I think the series will last, but regardless of it lasting or not, I actually just don't think the Grizzlies are putting themselves in their best position instead of just getting out there and firing on all cylinders and just leaving the shit behind them. Like, this is their, I know it's their first year at, but at some point in this series or maybe the next series as we get to it, they're going to have to shed the shit and play their best ball. I think they need to just start that from the next game.
Fair. It's easier said than done when you're 20, 21, you're full of testosterone and you're getting like 2 days between a game. Like, it is kind of a bit more difficult. It's also a nice little twist to this tale as well, is that like this Warriors, when they were coming on the up, they had to overcome a potentially more experienced Memphis Grizzlies and put them to the sword. So there's all the kind of fairy tales and parallels there. Now, I don't think you'd put this Golden State Warriors side to the sword. They've still got plenty of juice in the tank. But
yeah, I think of all the teams you want to be playing this game with, the Warriors team that can go out and put 142 on you is not the one that you want to be. So the next one then is, stick to Western Conference. So the emergence of Jalen Brunson, who we've talked about before, especially in the playoffs, has given Dallas an opportunity to even up the series against the Suns, but more importantly has alleviated the insurmountable amount of pressure that Luka has of basically doing everything for them. Is a lower usage rate for Luka key to Dallas going further in the playoffs?
No.
You think more?
I think as it is, like, would you tell Michael Jordan, hey, look, you're actually using the ball too much. You don't take what makes your best player away from your best player.
No, but just from a balanced point of view, I'm just curious whether you think that if Jalen Brunson is obviously able to keep delivering a certain threshold of points, you know, per night, and it just takes the pressure. Like, if Luka's usage, like, is obviously very high, but there is nights where it's stupidly high as well. And if he has a decent run of mate in him, does it just take...
But the one thing you'd say about Luka is those nights where the usage is ridiculously high are usually ridiculously high scoring. It's not like he's just someone who keeps shooting if he's not hitting a shot. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think in principle that's great, but it's very much X's and O's versus Jimmy's and Joe's kind of take, and that, like, analytically that makes sense, but I think based on the personnel on that Mav side, I think you have to write Luka. And as we discussed last week, when the usage just gets too high for him, he will change his game. He's intellectual enough to change his game. He has the skill set to change his game as he gets older and be that more of a maestro as such. Like, you know, I don't think you look to curtail Luka's...
I don't want to curtail him at all. I'm just curious whether you thought that... I don't think anyone expected Jalen Brunson to fall into the laps of the Mavericks and be like, oh, look, we might actually have guy number two here all of a sudden. Do you know what I mean? He was a low-round draft pick.
Or is he Jamal Murray?
You know, so I'm... Yeah, exactly. Jamal Murray in the Sun. So... I personally think it's good for Luka to have that player there, so that, look, if you don't necessarily want to go absolute Hercules for the entire game, but then you have the energy to actually go fucking Hercules at the end of games because he's after giving you a dig out, I think it's a good thing. But yeah, he just loves the ball in his hands.
Yeah. So, like, your question is, like, is that key to having
Luka? You don't think so? That's okay.
Yeah, coach. Yeah, he coaches. No,
I don't even know if he knows the questions coming up. Does he?
Yeah.
Right. Next.
I don't know the questions.
Next one.
Let me just.
I'm worried about my battery on my laptop. That's all.
For the audio listener, the coach has this big sourpuss on him all episode.
When he's sad, I feel sad.
Be right.
Because a couple of things happened this weekend, as I explained, the Liverpool Spurs thing, and then also last night the beloved Celtics playing on what should we call Irish television. I was going to call it something else. So that's that. You know, the referee was effectively wearing Giannis jersey, and then today, obviously, Eddie Howe let me down. So, yeah, go on, hit me up. Go
Eddie
on.
Howe one, Eddie Howe one's a stretch.
Just twist the knife.
Okay, let's twist the knife here. This one is for you.
Of course.
So, look, I think the winner of Milwaukee and the Celtics will win the title this year.
I agree.
So, unlike the Grizzlies-Warriors series, this one seems to be just a pure defensive throwback. Something that you only get, like, in the 90s, and it is living up to that. But Boston haven't really shot the ball well. They haven't shot the ball well, but yet they're still in these games. They obviously, like, we had this conversation last night that they were done at the end of the third quarter.
No, the Sasquatch
yeah,
had that
okay, so me and the Sasquatch.
Who won?
Let me finish. So, we had this question that...
So they were done that night. I said it was done last night. Then the series is over. I said
he said
game.
The game was done, and here, I said that I didn't. With 13 points in the modern NBA, 13 points is just not a lot anymore. You kind of, if you used to think 13 points was a lot, now 23 points is a lot, essentially. So if the Celtics can sort out their unreliable scoring, because it is as unreliable as it's going to get. Is this even going to be a series anymore? Or will they just romp this home?
I don't know if you want to let the coach.
No, I'll have his ball. Go on, whoever.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think that's incredibly disrespectful to what Milwaukee is as the reigning NBA champions. I think this game is going to 7 games, no matter what. And just your point about whoever wins this wins the NBA series, I'm not so sure, because the winner of this is going to have to probably play Miami. And the winner, whoever comes out of this after Game 7, is going to be bruised and battered and wrecked. And do you think Miami Heat is going to play nice and soft? Let's play some small ball. No, that's going to be another grueling challenge. And then you're likely coming up against the Phoenix Suns, who can play ball and are quietly going about their business. So I think it is the series of the conference semifinals. It's the best series on at the minute. Closely followed by the Grizzlies and the Warriors, but that could potentially take off. That score worried me last night, but I think this is very much in the balance. The key
the Celtics
is
Celtics take out Milwaukee on
Boston
is it Wednesday night? No, it's Monday night this week, is it? Monday then Wednesday?
Need to. Because Milwaukee...
Yeah, I don't think they can go back to Boston game 5, 3-1
Boston
down.
3-1. Lose. I think they go 3-1 down.
What is that?
And then come back to win. I heard of that as well. I've no idea. I've never heard it before. But I think the Celtics. I think the Celtics lose the next game 3-1 down and come back to win 4-3.
I think we have lost
the coach. In a fit of
his frozen face looks very funny though, doesn't it? He should snap that.
and you know, and it's really unfortunate because I know he's going to make a brilliant point.
It'll actually show up in the audio though,
I suppose,
because it'll be all recorded on Audacity, so we'll find out later on.
It'll just be like him he'll be calling us profanities, I'd imagine. But for me, look, this is a bruising series, and I don't think you can decide it. You can call a game going into the fourth quarter if you want. And eventually proven right.
You can. I just think, I do think Boston really need to sort out the unreliable scoring. It just...
I heard everything you said is weak, weak individuals.
How are we weak?
Back?
It's 3-1. It's going to go 3-1 Bucks. It's going to go 3-1 Bucks and Celtics win 4-3.
He's called it. Look, I like the fact that he just came back midstream there and just called it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm not arguing with him.
Fair enough. But let me tell you one thing. There was nothing wrong with the officiating last night.
No, there's been nothing wrong with the officiating. And that, like, they've let those boys get after it, and they've been
And that and your call about Marcus Smart, he started the shooting motion after losing the ball.
Give over.
And he flopped.
He was
so there was nothing wrong with that call.
He felt contact.
Nothing. What?
He felt contact.
He got a little bit of contact Twitchy's and he flopped like a dead fish.
I don't know where the line was.
It's going to be a great series though. If you have the capacity, stick all the remaining games on record because it's going to ratchet up a notch.
They're going to be late nights, I think, as well. There's going to be a lot of stoppages in them.
That's why I'd say recording.
Yeah.
There's not even one suited to our audience. The next two are 12:30 Tuesday, 12:30. That's Monday night here.
There's a game on at 8:30 this evening, so that might be the closest one.
Yeah, this podcast is going out Wednesday, so like there's
nothing. Yeah.
This is actually really, really poor. So if you're listening, it's now 2-2.
Last one. He's some man, isn't he? So look,
Celtics win 4-3. I don't know what way it goes. Celtics win 4-3.
Embiid finally returned in game 3. And obviously I thought they would go 3-0 down when Embiid got back. I just didn't think that it was going to go their favour, but look, he came back last night. They managed to win the game. Miami were absolutely putrid. Will the lift of Embiid return and give the Sixers a chance to get to 6 or 7 games, or is gentleman's sweep still happening?
I think a gentleman's sweep is still on.
Yeah.
The more I watch Embiid, the more I think he's just a very, very, very good two.
I just think he's a baby. I like fucking
soft. He's the Cameroonian Anthony Davis.
Orbital bone. Get on the fucking floor, you fucking whelp. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. I
tell you, they'd have a great chance of that 36 and 8 James Harden was floating around as well. So nah man, Embiid is soft and I have a personal gripe against Embiid as well. Like my points are done now, but like just to say like he was whinging about like I deserve the MVP. No, you don't. Fuck off. Like it's just not like he's always going to get hurt in these key moments. Right. I think, and it's always going to hang over series for as long as he plays because he's soft.
Yeah. Imagine the Philadelphia 76ers had the audacity with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons tell us to trust the process.
I tell you one thing.
The process of the two boys retiring.
If that's the ceiling of that fucking Phillies team, I think they're going back to some sort of process fucking soon because they might have to blow that up. Like that, there is no kind of. You look at that Philly team now as it's constructed. Like there isn't a whole lot like that you're going to be able to do. Like because if you try and move Tobias Harris, like that's some salary to be moving. For what you're actually getting, and then obviously Harden is, look, we'll see what happens with Harden in the summer. You know, like that team could really be at its apex now, and it just get no threat out of it. Like yeah, so fuck them.
Yeah, fair.
How much is Simmons on?
Yeah. Too much.
Not enough to fix his back, apparently.
Yeah.
Would you be bad if you were with Maya Jama? I mean,
however the money's on.
He's also soft.
Anyway, speaking of softness, coach.
Purple rain. Okay. So a little bit of a swing. Seesaw moment. This week's coach supplement is redeveloped and reconstructed and now called Hot or Not.
Okay. So. Oh, coming into the summer months, this is brilliant.
Yeah. So,
Calypsos.
We've obviously lived with, in regards to the European Champions Cup and the rugby, we've obviously had our two legs and then we've had our semi-finals. Obviously, Munster yesterday got to incredible scenes. Obviously, we all would have liked to see Munster go through, but are Munster on a hot streak or a not streak? Things have changed obviously since the announcement of who's taken over and to join the coach and stuff. So I just want to get to the bottom of it. Are you think they're on a hot streak or a not streak?
I just think and we did touch on it, Graham Rowntree understands what Munster is, and I don't think Johan van Graam ever did. And as soon as it was announced, there was obviously that famous video that went viral during the rounds where, like, Johan Graham is standing there with his clipboard in the dressing room, and it's Graham Rowntree giving the speech and rounding the players up. And they've played good rugby since that's been announced, so obviously it's all but in principle that Graham Rowntree is the head coach. So I just think he has the potential to guide Munster back to kind of where they should be, and then I just don't know if he's the man to take them back to the promised land, which is winning Champions Cups on the regular.
Yeah. Who do they ever get back to that point, though? I know we briefly spoke about it before, but do they get back to that
point?
They
were very close yesterday.
Yeah, I think inevitably.
They were close yesterday, but they would have got hammered. They would have got hammered.
I think it's inevitable the Munster do. It could be 2 years, it could be 10 years, but I think it's inevitable they do. Because of what Munster rugby means to the people of Munster.
Bottom feeder?
Yeah, I think. Well, look, yesterday showed like they could. They're there, thereabouts. Like, you're talking, when you get into these, like, obviously we don't see a penalty shootout in rugby very often. It's been differently formatted as well, hasn't it, since the one that we last seen? Like, when was. What was that? Leicester's game?
Leicester, yeah. I think that was like pretty much sudden death, and it went down to like.
And.
Are you fan bottom feeder of the
yeah, eight, I actually kind of like thing. I like it's not we don't see it often, but the new format obviously makes it a little bit more of a challenge. I don't look, in fairness, if you're down to sudden death, like, and you have to put a poor prop on to kick a ball in sudden death, I just find it's a bit shit to be putting them into that situation. So that they've opted for three players to kick your goals, and all of them, they're all good goal kickers. So I don't know if you're a fan, but I actually thought it was okay.
Look, I'm not a fan of it, but I'd make one change to avoid us getting there. So the minute you go into extra time, it's golden point.
Who kicks off?
NFL overtime rules are coming, baby.
I don't like the NFL. I don't like that because there's two sides to a ball. There's the attack and there's the defense, and I think sometimes we underappreciate defense in favor of a more of a spectacle. But good defense has its place in any sport.
Okay, no problem.
Defense wins championships.
Moving on, Canelo last night lost against Fivol. Is he on a hot streak or a not streak? Is this you can obviously lose but still be in a hot streak, and I think, but is this Canelo, is this the beginning of his downfall?
I don't know. When is the last time he lost?
Was it to Money Mayweather?
I think so.
Yeah, which is how long ago? 10 years ago?
Maybe, would it be that long ago? Maybe with COVID and stuff, possibly, yeah.
COVID was actually 8 years. That's how long it felt.
So a not streak, we're saying. Surely the fight's turned around.
There's got to be something in the middle. It's got to be something in the middle.
No, there's not.
There's got to be something in the middle.
No, this is my game, and it's hot or not.
What's not? I don't know. I think it's like too early to speak. Like, it's boxing. Anyone can have a freak loss. I haven't seen the fight either, which very unprofessional of me, I know. But, I don't know.
Surely, though, that it's done again within the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he wins the second bout. It's like the Anthony Joshua incident, isn't it?
Bit of a difference in the caliber of fire.
Yeah, I don't think Canelo would lose that fight again.
Both ends, both the winner and the loser in that fight.
Do you know what? I spent about an hour looking at that Canelo knockout of Mir Khan just to make myself feel better, because I'm a big fan of him. So I think he'd be all right going forward.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. It's a tough one, this, because it's not like anyone probably enjoys seeing it. Actually, do you know what? It tickles me a little bit, actually. Rangers, Europa League final. I'm not going to say are they on a hot streak, But is it hot or not as an occasion? Is it good to see Rangers in another European final? Why?
It's fucking Rangers. I see you missed this. There was a previous production. There was a previous production on the network, and the coach, this is circa the time a certain Scouser was over the Rangers, and the coach would pretty much would bring his sash on a weekly basis. Like, right lads, let me tell you, Rangers winning the SPL is the best thing that could ever happen for the world of football, and here's why.
Someone had said that to me. Someone said that to me in a pub, it was a couple of months ago. I was like, oh yeah, I actually quite like watching Rangers just because I gave them my backing because of Steven Gerrard. And I was like, I'm my fuck by a new point.
I think let's not pull all our balaclavas to finish out the podcast. But there is a thing here in that I think sometimes as Irish sports fans we get drawn into it that it's great to see the British clubs do well, and I disagree with that to an extent because your side should do well. Like, I think there was a lot in the press about people not rooting for City to go through. It's like, that's grand if you're British, but we're not.
Yeah, I know,
British.
But Madrid all the way, like, I was delighted to see Madrid trashing City, like.
So I don't like Rangers. So I'm not cheering for them. In the same way I don't like Spurs, I wouldn't be cheering for Spurs against Liverpool in the Champions League final, which I did not. I cheered for Liverpool. And I didn't cheer for Spurs last night either. FYI.
Yeah, there's a certain hatred you're allowed to have for clubs, I think. And it makes you a worse person, but it makes you a better person at the same time.
I wouldn't say it's hatred, because if they win it, it's not going to ruin my week. If Spurs win something, it will generally ruin my week. But I don't care. And I'm not going to, probably not going to watch it. I probably wouldn't have watched it if West Ham got there too, to be fair.
I haven't watched any of the Europa League games, I don't think, apart from the Rangers ones.
I actually watched a conference. My first game outside the Champions League I watched was the European Conference, because I wanted to see how Saliba did against Feyenoord during the week. He did not do well.
Moving on. World Snooker Chiefs are in talks with the architects of the Etihad Stadium over a plan to build a new 3,000-seater venue next to the Crucible in Sheffield, which would share hosting of the matches in the Crucible. Question number one, did you watch any of it, of the World Snooker Championships last week or over the last 2 weeks? And number two, is snooker in a hot or not place?
I'll answer you with a simple statement. I was driving along in the car over the weekend, and an advertisement came on the radio for insuremyvan.ie. Read aloud only by none other than Ken Doherty. Snooker is in a very bad place.
Friend of the show, by the way. Friend of the show.
That friend of the show has been vilified and being dehumanized by reading out insuremyvan.ie adverts. He should be able to retire.
I'm just going to add a note here because Ken Doherty and Stephen Hendry have been added as wild cards for the next 2 years of the World Snooker Championships. Now, obviously, it's kind of they're kind of reaching out to maybe an audience that they possibly would have lost over maybe the last 30, 40 years to try and crawl them back. Obviously, trying to crawl back sort of market as well, being one from Scotland and one from the darling of Dublin, Ken Doherty. They're obviously trying to crawl a little bit back of a crowd they may have lost. However, one thing that really perked my interests, and I didn't know this until after the final, Ronnie O'Sullivan actually wore a microphone for the whole 2 weeks and had a recording team follow him for the whole 2 weeks, and he's actually selling it to the highest bidder. Obviously, it's probably going to be Netflix or Amazon or whatever, but...
No, it's going to be Eurosport. Free sports.
It could be a good
watch.
That's
free sports channel. It's part of Premier Sports.
It could be a very good watch. I met Ronnie once in his heyday when he was a party animal on the pint.
He met you, mate. You were a party animal.
Baker, is that you?
Here's the time Baker and Ronnie are on the pints in the Caribbean. No, I think snooker is just... It's not a great watch, and it was very lucky how it got its rise. It actually got its rise because of the invention of colour television.
Correct.
and that's when people started watching it, and it built the following. Then it was kind of like you watch the snooker, you watch Wimbledon, you watch the Grand National, and as soon as we got access to whatever sport we wanted, we realised, you know what,
it's not that great,
this maybe isn't exciting enough, and I don't think it will ever get back to what was its heyday in the 80s and early 90s.
Hey, look, maybe the Hearns inject some life into it, and we're seeing 90,000 attended games in Wembley. Under a canopy.
Do they not seem a little bit just stuck in their ways, though? Like, did they refuse to even change? Like, even the stuff they wear is awful looking. Like, I mean,
they have tried different formats, and the stuff they wear has been
2022
altered, like, over the years.
There's no atmosphere. That's a huge thing. That's why darts has done so well. It's a great night out.
Yeah, and I hate darts. I've never been, but I'd go to snooker game ahead of darts, though.
I'd, no way. Yeah. No. And it's quiet. It's the snooker's quiet. Like, I want to be rowdy at that. Like, I want to be a rowdy that night attend. If it's not rowdy, I don't want to be going.
And no one invites you. Off.
Moving on. Boris Becker is obviously hot property for...
For the FBI.
Yeah. So I just want to know, he's been complaining apparently about his first couple of days with the standard of foods and the noise levels at HMP Wandsworth as he begins a 2.5 year sentence. does Boris deserve what he's got?
No, yes. Next question. Yeah, good lord. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's like saying Gary Gacy's not happy for getting the injection. Yeah, well, you deserved it, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, we're nearly there. Gacy. Nearly there. Manchester United and Liverpool have joined forces to charter a jumbo jet to fly their squads out to Thailand for pre-season friendly match on July 12th, which is expected to be Erik ten Hag's first game in charge of Old Trafford Club. Surely this is the most not thing ever. We had an open platform that we had on this network. We had a big debate one evening for probably over an hour on the players hugging each other after a derby. Surely this is wrong.
How fucking stuck are they to be hiring a jumbo jet between them? Like, it's concerning. Like, why?
Maybe they're concerned about the environment.
Well, they'd want to be stop caring about the environment. They'd get two fucking single jumbo jets, wouldn't they? I'm not a fan of that at all.
Yeah, no, it's not a good look. But I think, as the old fella says, game's gone. Game's been gone a while.
Liverpool refuse. It's probably Everton that are flying out with United.
You say that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's not a rival anymore. And I'm sorry to say it, but I'm pretty cool.
I've checked out. I'm not
Liverpool
even
United isn't
checked out.
It's not a rivalry. And it hasn't been a rivalry. No matter what Sky Sports peel you with the big fancy commercial. It hasn't been a rivalry for a while.
Two.
So, thank you.
And then lastly from me, as soon as you wanted to throw in the little Celtics question, Alex Ferguson, hot or not? Because I feel he's very, very cold. He needs to get out of Manchester United because he's corrupting every person's mind in there. He needs to get as far out of there as possible. Let the stadium crumble behind him.
I don't think it's just Alex Ferguson. I think it's the entire
squad.
Like, I think there's too many Man United pundits.
Yes, I agree.
And I think their opinion weighs too highly. And this has happened across the sports world in various different sports. Ask a Brisbane Broncos fan. They were like Man United in the early 90s. And those players are still quizzed and interviewed every time they have a new manager. It's like, mate, you're 50. You retired 20 years ago.
Yeah, you
no
don't
longer
want to
have a say over this club.
Yeah. The reason it perks my interest is because the Sunday Mirror led by a story this morning. Cristiano Ronaldo has held regular private meetings with Alex Ferguson to talk about his Manchester United future. They're the wrong two people to be talking about anything to do with Manchester United's future. This is how United got to where they are.
Yeah.
Bottom feeder?
No comment.
If it was Ten Hag and Ronaldo, you'd be like, okay, fair enough.
I assume he's already had conversations with Ten Hag as well. I don't know if that's fact. I can assume, when Ten Hag got the job, you know, he's your best, Ronaldo. You know what I mean?
I think in the days of WhatsApp, I'd say the conversation happened before Ten Hag.
Yeah, but look, at some point, the conversation's probably been had. And I think, to be honest, look, Fergie and Ronaldo have this real weird he's my Portuguese son, father-son relationship going on there. I think those conversations are probably sentimental more than nothing. I hope to hold of no weight to how the club is actually fucking run, because that would be wrong.
Makes you wonder, like, do Aberdeen ask Alex Ferguson before they sign a player?
No, they ask Darren.
Do you know, like...
But, like, so Alex is an Aberdeen managing legend. Do you know what I mean?
It would be, look, it is concerning, because it would mean things would never change, really.
Liverpool don't ask Kenny Dalglish when they got signed.
No, they gave him a job for a while, though.
That's because Kenny had a second stint.
They did one better. They gave him a job.
But it... they do ask Kenny for his opinions on potentially racist statements from the players on the pitch. We'll all wear a t-shirt outside supporting him, even after he's been...
There's only one Dalglish I'm interested in. It's not Kenny anyways, so...
For he... I tell you what, which player ended up with the better career?
You know I mean? Probably would edit that.
Anyway, have you seen this in partnership with USA Sports.co.uk? This weekend, we've actually gone for the UFC last night, the knockout of Tony Ferguson by Chandler. Picture's probably better, but the video's just as good. He looks like a young fella after getting his first bag of pills at an electric picnic.
Chandler's foot looks like it's
gurning.
In an awkward spot as well,
he's
doesn't
gurning.
It?
Chandler's foot is made in contact with Tony Ferguson's chin and also brushing his
eyebrows. It just looks like when he catches him, I was like, Jesus, Chandler's foot, like, how is that not broken as well? Just the way.
Nasty, nasty stuff. But yeah, that's all from me.
That is all from me.
We will see you three more times before the end of the season, so thank you and good night.